You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment. From the AfterBuzz studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to AfterBuzz TV's Once Upon a Time After Show. I'm Kathy Kelly, and joining me tonight, as always, Tiana Hobson.
Hello, hello.
And Kaori Take.
Hey, guys. Hello.
And then running the ones and twos and back is Marissa Serafini.
What's up, guys?
Thanks so much for doing that, Marissa. We love you.
Well, eventually, one day, we'll all be on the panel. Eventually.
Yes, one day. We hope you guys had an awesome Thanksgiving if you were here in the States. And tonight, of course, we are recapping Season 3, Episode 9, titled... I don't know what it is.
Save Henry.
Save Henry.
Write that on the board.
No.
I knew I forgot something.
That good handwriting.
Save Henry. And there was a little bit of a twist at the end, which we will talk about later in our after show. But overall thoughts of tonight's episode. What do we think?
It was a nice episode back. We had a week off, so it was a nice filler to get us moving again towards a direction. But I just think that the last episode we had was so epic and so much revealed that this was a nice sort of, okay, relax off of that, and we're going to build it back up to the mid-season finale.
I'm glad that we got a slower episode, because I feel like I'm still processing everything that happened in 2 weeks ago's episode.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, Corey?
I feel that it was a little too slow for me.
Okay.
Compared to the pace that this whole season was going, it was going so good. This was by far the slowest one and less revealing, other than, yeah, the Henry's adoption. I wanted to see more of that, too. There wasn't enough of that. And even getting Henry back on the ship was a little too easy for me.
It seemed like there were a lot of easy things. It seemed like... you know, Pan getting hurt and all these things were happening very fast. And I think that all culminated in what happened in the end with them switching bodies. So we did get a huge problem going into not just next week, but it probably seems like the next half of the season.
Possibly.
So. Yeah. My thing is that I was, from last episode, a lot of things went down, and I was happy with this episode that they actually resolved a lot of the problems that happened in the last episode. I thought it was going to take maybe one or two more episodes to, like, fix Henry's heart and all the things that happened in the last episode, but I'm glad they rounded that out in tonight's episode.
Yeah, and it seemed like tonight there were a lot of reveals in the script that we already knew, like... Rumpel had to tell Neil about Pan being his father and things like that. And so it wasn't as interesting, and that's maybe why it was a little bit slower paced, because we already knew these things and we kind of knew how they would react to these things.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get into tonight's discussion of this episode. Let's start off with the pre-curse flashback. Rumpel, we start off with, he asks Regina how it felt ripping the heart out of her father to enact the curse. Of course, this is when Rumpel is in the jail and before the curse is enacted. Rumpel then tells Regina that the savior, Emma, is the one that can stop her and break the curse. Regina has a hole in her heart and she will need to fill it. That will come later. She doesn't really... take that into regard whatsoever, even though she knows how much power Rumpel has. So why do you guys think that is?
I think that Regina being you know, in the position of power at this point. You know, she's sitting at the top of the throne. She's like, I've gotten everything I wanted.
Literally, you know, and figuratively.
Literally and figuratively. So, you know, she's kind of thinking that her ish don't stink. And so that's what my mom used to say.
Wow, that's a way of putting it.
Yeah. So, you know, she's like, oh, well, there's nothing you can do or anyone can do because this is already how it's happening. And I think that she's just so blinded by her own
power
that she's not even listening to Rumpel and forgetting that he is the Dark One and that he does know a lot, because she even said a line to him like, I think you're starting to think that your premonition, like your, you know, future telling is like a little ahead of you right now because I'm about to erase your memory and everyone's memory. But I mean, he still was right, and he knew that she would eventually be lonely.
She's definitely power hungry, and I mean, I think this whole, we know that she was played in this and that Rumpel kind of created this whole curse and made her think that she was the one that created it and enacted it. But really, he has the upper hand, and she doesn't see that yet.
Well, yeah, and also, sorry, it also goes to show that the first scene we see the flashback of Regina, she's wearing a gray sweater, so she's still neutral. She doesn't really, she feels like she's on top, and she almost slips that I'm the queen.
She's not quite good and not quite bad.
But, exactly, but she doesn't have all the power, and she realizes that Rumpel's more powerful than she is right now, and she's still trying to find herself in the storybook.
Yeah, that's the thing about Rumpel and Regina, my two favorite characters, is that we got to remember that Rumpel taught Regina everything she knows, and suddenly the apprentice became the master, and it doesn't really work that way because Rumpel is always one step ahead of her.
Yeah.
So,
and I mean, it's interesting too because he said something to her along the lines of like, "You shall see, you will come to me." It was like a rhyme.
That's
like, there's more than more that you want, and if you think about it, like, 10 years ago, the things I wanted then compared to the things I want now are completely different. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's looking 5 steps ahead. She's only thinking, this is all I ever wanted was to defeat Snow White, ruin her happy ending, and I'm getting that. She's not thinking down the road of, oh,
like when you're 20 years old, you don't care about cholesterol, but when you're 40, you probably do. You're
like, cellulite, what's that? And then you wake up one day.
I did mention or write down that Rumpel sings this song, which is very similar to the original version of the fairy tale, where Rumpel's always singing and telling these riddles. And it was nice to see that kind of tie into tonight's episode.
I agree, Kathy Kelly.
So let's talk about the storybook flashback. But before we get into that and Henry's adoption, I just want to mention for all of those who are watching that you can actually go over to our iTunes page and subscribe to our podcast. It only takes a minute. All you have to do is open up iTunes, type in AfterBuzz TV. You can find our Once Upon a Time podcast along with about 50 other podcasts that we do a week. So if you like anything on television, we probably have a show for it. You can find it there. Again, subscribe to our Once Upon a Time podcast and then rate and comment because we love hearing your feedback. And I just want to mention some of the people that have written comments over the past couple weeks. All of you guys are stellar. I'm going to pull up the names in a second. So until then, Tiana, start talking.
Also, thanks to everyone on YouTube. We have such great discussions on YouTube. Some of the comments are
on Twitter, everything.
You guys are on it. And there was someone on there pointed out to me because during our last podcast, I was like, oh, I didn't see any predictions that, you know, Peter Pan would end up being Rumpelstiltskin's father. And they said there was, like, on another site that they had seen a prediction of, you know, figuring out that Rumpel's father could be Pan.
That was the biggest surprise for me in all three seasons, actually.
Yeah, I jaw on the floor. I took a lap.
But I liked it. I mean, since I wasn't here the past couple of weeks, I loved that twist.
Yeah.
Very much.
Shout out to Seven Knee New, because you're awesome. Thank you so much for rating and commenting on our podcast. I'm sorry, I always butcher people's iTunes names, but regardless of what it is, thank you so much for rating and, you know, just tuning in general, because we love hearing your feedback. As Tiana said, we love hearing all of your predictions on YouTube. It helps us sort out things, and it's so good to see that other people are listening to us.
And that other people are obsessed with it like me because...
Oh, my gosh.
Tiana's dreaming about it.
Yeah, I have dreams about the show. I still don't trust Wendy because of a dream.
Do you get trapped in your dreams ever?
No, not yet. Oh, okay. You know, but I have, you know...
I know a solution
I have
to
had,
that.
Like, a fiery pit come up, you know, a very hot door, so... Yeah.
So, speaking of dreams and the dream child himself, Henry, and his adoption, we start off with this Storybrooke flashback. It's right, or it seems like fairly recently after the curse was enacted, Regina realizes that she's not happy with her life there, and that even though she thought the curse would bring her ultimate happiness, there is still a void, as Rumple predicted. So she seeks Archie Hopper's advice, and they meet together. Archie ends up saying that she has this hole, she needs to fill it. She goes to Gold to adopt a child. And she says, you have a way of figuring things out. Usually it takes 2 years to get a kid, but you can do
what
it.
What kind of backdoor politics is
that's
this?
That's what I was thinking.
That was a shady adoption.
Yeah, that's what I was saying the whole time, too. Wow, these forms are signed, the baby back, baby...
It was very
heck?
Much handled like buying a car. Like
yes.
That, I know what adoptions are like, trust me.
I think
and
buying a car is harder.
But the thing is that like with real adoptions, you go through like house inspections, family inspections, several different visitations for different things, and like all these inspections and loopholes that you have to try to get through. That is not a real adoption.
Yeah, and like they don't just look at a piece of paper and say, oh yes, you look like a fit mother. Here's a baby.
And
yeah.
It's in a town that I've never heard of before. Cold story.
Exactly. And let alone that Wendy's two brothers coming all haggard looking and just standing up, I'm ready to take the kid. It just didn't make sense, that whole part.
Yeah. Were they really going to give like two 18-year-old boys a baby?
Right? It did not make sense.
I mean, just because they look so
they're
young.
They're 28-year-olds.
Still
oh
young,
no but they just look they're not 28 yet
they
I mean they're
don't look
actually
mature
probably like 300
children.
Years old but
yes.
They look like a couple of 20 year
yes.
olds
they do not look like a couple that's for sure
yes
that either and I think that this is 7 years after the curse was enacted
so
yeah
I know my knowledge of adoption is far less than other most people's but I did watch Juno.
Juno.
Well. They did. I mean, there are adoptions that are not as much through an agency and maybe just one lawyer. And a lot of the time, I mean, I'm not saying that this happens a lot because I do have, I have nieces and nephews who are adopted. And I know
I'm
that usually
adopted.
There's, I know, Marissa, there's extensive processes, but then there's also those mothers who are just seeking money and, they're, you know, like they choose a family based on who's going to buy them a car or, you know, buy them these things while they're.
Yeah, and I think
you know,
that's more of like the private, you know, adoption route. I don't know what. I know Regina used an agency, and maybe that's why she was able to bypass a lot of this.
Bribery
stuff.
Seems to be involved.
Look, even listening to Regina's description of Storybrooke was so boring, like, oh, it's like a fairy tale. Who would want to live in, I don't know.
Hidden gem.
Yeah, it just was,
But that's the kind of stuff that
that's what they
want to
hear,
yeah.
I don't think so. They want to hear that their kids will be lively. They made it, made her city town look so, like, nothing happened.
I wouldn't want to live in a town where they said that it was, you know, it was like hell. You're like,
well,
yeah,
of course,
it's,
not gonna
there's
that.
Mosquitoes everywhere, and, you know, most people are ex-cons, so.
But even if you read the description on houses when you're trying to buy a house, if you go online and read the descriptions, everything's made
charming.
To seem charming.
Charming, three-bedroom.
Yeah, it, everything is made to look like a fairy tale because that's what's gonna sell better than when you actually show up and there's three gangs on like each corner.
And honestly, it's not that weird that he hadn't heard of the town because there are so many towns
but
that I've never heard of in my life.
I think they have floral, I don't have adoption experience myself, but he should at least look up the town, see what it's like. It just seems
make
way
sure
too
she's
easy.
Actually the
and
mayor.
That's the thing with real adoptions. You have people that
have
go and
yeah.
check the house, check make sure the family is stable. So, yeah, it was just
so
not,
clearly,
I mean, I get it's a TV show.
What Rumple did is he either bribed the crap out of this dude or he worked some sort of, I mean, he didn't have his magic back at that point, but he figured something out. I don't know what it was, but clearly there was not a sufficient background check, and that is how that was all done by Rumple.
Yeah, because then it brings up the other question of, you know, how much does Rumple know, and how does he have these connections outside of Storybrooke if no one can leave Storybrooke except for Regina at this point?
Well, maybe he just set up everything before the curse occurred so that he had the possibility of having all these things happen.
But if you remember, maybe there was that possibility that he would have things happen, and that was a loophole. But he said, like, in the curse, he didn't get his memories back until Emma stepped back into Storybrooke.
Yeah. So he would have had to have all these things laid out beforehand, but then it even goes to say, you know, how is he getting in touch with these people? And then even Sydney Glass, who later on, you know, when Regina can't get the baby to stop crying, she's like, I need to find out everything about his birth mom. Use your connections. How do they have these connections outside of Storybrooke if, as far as people's memories, it's only Storybrooke? No one leaves Storybrooke. So do they know that anything's outside of Storybrooke?
Right. And that's what confused me, too, because Rumple did seem like he knew what was happening, and it seemed like he knew more than he was letting
on. He seems like he has half his memories. It's not complete memories. He still thinks he's Mr. Gold, but there's some thing where he's rooted in,
and I think that he kind of set up little triggers to help jog his memory throughout the thing, because from the start I've never fully believed that he didn't remember anything until Emma came back in town. But then
he was very specific about what he wanted from Regina when the curse was enacted. I want to be one of the most powerful people in the town. I want to have this amount of money. I want this. And there were probably other demands as well. So
exactly. So I mean, he definitely knew what he was doing. I just want to know, I mean, I live in a town, and I know where other towns are, but I don't have any connections.
She even offered him a way out in that flashback, and he's like, I'm exactly where I want to be.
Yeah. So it's all pre-plotted. So hopefully we get more of it, because it's very interesting to go back.
Also, it's interesting, people have been asking why Rumple didn't enact the curse himself, because to enact the curse, you need the heart of the person that you love the most, the part of the heart of the person that he loved the most at that point was Neil, and he didn't have access to Neil at that time.
And if he did, he wouldn't have needed the curse, he would have had a son already.
Exactly. So getting back to Henry's adoption, Rumple ends up finding this adoption agency. The other parents mysteriously fell through, and with a family in Boston, baby still needs a home. Regina takes the baby, but newborn Henry cries all the freaking time when it's around Regina. Clearly, baby Henry can sense good from evil, because when he is held by Mary Margaret, he stops crying immediately. Regina is at Granny's, and Granny suggests that she tells Henry a story so he stops crying. Which we hear later in the episode.
Which I thought was funny, because all the fairy tale stories would paint her as a bad person.
I know.
So I was like, so funny. Once upon a time, this evil queen, but like, does she change into this good-hearted queen
who
just wanted to run away with the love of her life?
when we do hear her side of the story, though, it's very heartbreaking. You know, her mother is the most evil and tries to separate her from her true love, that kind of thing. So Regina tries to take Henry back, which of course is when we find out that Michael and John, Wendy's brothers, were there to take him had she given Henry back.
So how did they know that that was Henry? Because his picture that they're going based off of was him as an 11-year-old, not him as an infant. And you don't look the same as an infant as you do.
I think
as an 11-year-old.
They just had a hunch, and that might not have been, they might not have known that was Henry, because it seemed like they still stole other kids.
No, it sounded like they knew.
Because they said,
Henry.
We will get
they
that baby.
They said, we will get that kid, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we will get that baby, and that baby, and that baby, and that baby.
We're just going to steal all the babies until we find the right one.
All the male children.
How troubling it would be if adoption was that easy for these two kids to do
that. I mean, were they posing as a gay couple? Were they single brothers who were looking for another brother? Like, what was their backstory coming into this adoption? I have so many questions about this right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
why were they so hipster like 11 years ago? It wasn't even a thing. They were hipster before hipster.
They were hipster before hipster because hipsters like 1990s outfits right now.
This is so crazy. They've been wearing the same clothes for 11 years, guys.
Not 1990s, 1900s outfits.
Yes, 1900s.
And they didn't age, too. It makes us believe that they were probably on the island
back
for
and
a
forth
long time.
From Neverland. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought Pan also made it so that they wouldn't age.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So
he's keeping them young to fulfill the quest.
So Regina ends up taking baby Henry to the hospital where Dr. Will looks at him and says he's a crying baby. He needs 10 cc's of eternal love.
Aww.
Cheese balls. And the only way that Regina can find out why he's truly crying is to find his biological mother. Of course, this is a closed adoption, and Regina then has to enlist Sydney, who finds out that Henry's biological mom is Emma.
Yes.
So Regina has known this entire time.
But
yes,
the twist at that was that she forgot.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So,
which I did not see coming, because I was like, mm-hmm. if you knew all this time that, you right. know, Emma was out there and that it was Snow and Charming's child and all this stuff, like, why were you so surprised when she actually showed up? I kind of wish that she had known still so that, I mean, she would have been preparing for an epic mm-hmm. battle. Could you imagine if she had kept that knowledge and then, like, been preparing for this moment for 11 years? Yeah. And then when she shows up, she's like, no!
I mean, she also could have probably stopped Henry from leaving.
Like, that's also really interesting, too, because Henry, throughout season one, was doing all these things that Regina started to get uncomfortable with. And mm-hmm. she started to protect him from
I mean, I think any mother would get uncomfortable
right,
if the child clearly had some vendetta against them.
But, like, she didn't want him to see the book. She didn't want him to do a lot of things. So I think that it didn't completely wipe out her memory either.
Yeah.
I think maybe we'll see a moment where that spell, that potion that she created for herself, that maybe that'll just wear off and we see Regina's getting all those memories back. I think that'd be interesting.
That would make more sense.
Yeah.
So
then it'd really be on.
I'm sure it's just when Emma comes back, the potion kind of wears off.
And I'm sorry, back to this adoption thing. I have one more thing that I have to ask the question of. Can you just return a baby that you've
That's
adopted?
What I was saying.
And then not
can
just
you just
say,
walk in like, hey, didn't work out, here you go, don't have a receipt,
there's a
storybook
that
not
I read
just
him.
Say not just say, oh, that I want to give this baby back, but then 20 seconds later be like, oh, just kidding.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They would look into that and say, okay, you're an unfit mother for this child.
And by the way, that child grew exponentially in 24 hours.
It was a different baby.
It was just
it
massive.
It was a different baby. Back in Storybrooke, Archie ends up telling Regina that he's pleased that Regina went through with the adoption, which we already talked about a little bit. And then what else happens? Regina goes into her father's tomb. And before that, she says to Archie she's worried that fate will bring Henry's birth mother back. So she goes into her father Henry's tomb, says goodbye, and she tells baby Henry the story of the queen and the curse. She was a lonely queen. Mm. She searched the land for a little boy to be her prince. They lived happily, but it was not ever after. There was still an evil lurking out there. Regina makes the potion, and she says the queen needed to put her own troubles aside and put her child first. And then she makes this forgiving and forgetting potion. That makes her forget her troubles and her fears.
Okay. No. What, was it just me, or when she was making that potion, did it not remind you of Snow White and the old, that old hag making that potion?
It did. Yeah.
It was very, like,
too.
The four different vials of the same color, mm-hmm. and, like, it was very reminiscent to that.
Yeah.
I'm glad you pointed that out. Reminded me of that, too.
I want to know, I mean, I know that she's being a good mom, and I think it's great that Regina did this because I don't think she would have been able to love Henry fully mm-hmm. with the knowledge of that fear lurking. But if you could forget all your fears with a potion and forget and forgive, couldn't we have saved everyone a lot of time and done this with Snow White from the start?
Yeah.
Like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to drink this now because I'm tired of losing every time to good, and I just want to live my life. Let me drink this potion and everything will be
darn
better.
You, Tiana!
Because at the time, she didn't have a void to fill in her heart, and Henry is the one that she loved. She didn't really love Snow White. Snow White wasn't her own child. Snow White was her stepchild.
Her evil stepchild.
But she loved her.
She did love her until Snow White was a little bit loose-lipped.
I'm just saying, she could have saved herself a lot of heartache if she wanted to. You know, I know that revenge is, you know, that thing that kind of plummets everything. But if she had really been thinking about it, she could have saved herself a lot of time and trouble and just drank this potion from the start. She would have been invited to family dinners and everything.
She was just consumed by revenge. Yeah. And then it's not pain. True.
So, how much of, I mean, I know that we kind of skipped over this part, but Owen, she says that, Regina says that she felt this void, especially since Owen left.
Right.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we haven't seen him in a really long time. But, I don't know.
I mean,
Is the reason why she does this forgive and forget because she doesn't want to have this knowledge and then end up locking Henry up so he doesn't find his birth mother and then him end up resenting her, which ends up happening anyways?
I think she's just worried that she won't be able to love him as a full-on mother with the fear of that anxiety behind it. So she wants to put that behind she wants to put that worry behind her so she doesn't mistreat him, maybe even lock him up like going crazy. But
and you know, I mean, she knows that the mother is her downfall, and so she's living every day with that overlooking you. Mm-hmm. It's hard to live in the present. It's like what Archie was saying, you know, our Dr. Whale, I think, said, you know, if you're so busy focusing on the past, you're not enjoying what's happening now and be here in the present. So she's not gonna be able to enjoy these moments because she's always going to be looking over her shoulder, waiting for Emma to show up and ruin everything, as opposed to being able to just live and enjoy and be happy for while she can and then worry about it when it comes.
I also wanted to know, and I don't know if you guys have the answer to this.
I have all the answers, Kathy.
Okay, so is Storybrooke still repeating every single day? Like Groundhog's Day, like it was last season?
No.
I don't think so.
It's not? I thought that the way that it started again was when Emma came.
God.
Okay, so I don't think it was necessarily, well, it was kind of like a Groundhog's Day thing.
Yeah.
But the way I took it was Regina was so stuck in a routine that she was kind of doing the same thing over and over. And yes, there were certain points of the day that were the same, but maybe not everyone's lives were.
I mean, they were putting up the sign every single day, you know, like,
yeah,
it was Groundhog's Day.
Well, once Henry gets there, then it has to have changed because he grows.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Well, he's the only one that grows because he wasn't part of the curse.
Yeah, but
Regina doesn't age. No one else in Storybrooke ages.
But it would have to be, everyone would have to start kind of, not moving forward in time, but having different days, because if you woke up one day and, like, there's no baby there, and then you woke up one day and Henry's suddenly 7.
Right.
People would be like, whoa, what happened?
Maybe that's why he starts questioning.
So it's just probably just a very routine lifestyle.
Yeah, routine lifestyle.
But there is some kind of motion in there.
Okay.
They're just not celebrating birthdays.
Exactly.
If you guys have the answer to that question, please let us know on YouTube. Marissa, do you have any thoughts?
I'm just reading the live chat here.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It's hard to tell because we only saw really Regina during that whole time. So we don't know if it was Groundhog's Day at that point. But I liked the fact that we did see some humanity within Regina, even though she's still trying to find herself. And the fact that, like, her progression of character throughout this episode, she was wearing gray and now she's wearing red, like the evil, regal Regina that we know. So, but I liked how we saw that mother nurturing side of her character this episode.
I agree. So let's get into what happened tonight in Neverland. Henry, we thought he might have been dead, but he's not. His heart is just stolen. Pan not only has his heart, but Pandora's box. Regina says Henry is her everything, Emma has Neil and Hook, so Emma can never truly understand what it is like to have the last thing on earth that you care about taken.
Mm-hmm. What I didn't like about her when she said that was she said to Emma, you have your parents, and then went on the other list of things. And Emma didn't have her parents for the majority of her life. So I think that Regina seems to forget that part, that there is a part of Emma who has had nothing, who has had all of her hope and everything taken away from her before.
Neil was her Henry Neil. In the situation, and Neil was taken away.
I think they're just talking extremely present day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but she's still getting used to the fact of having parents. She's still adjusting to that lifestyle. She knows the world without those parents. So just when Regina said, like, you have your parents, it's like, she didn't grow up with parents.
She didn't, but she has her parents now. She has Neil now.
She has two guys fawning over her.
Yeah,
but,
true.
But all she said that she's wanted to focus on is Henry. She's like, I don't care about these two guys. I'm focusing on me and getting my son back.
She cares about those two guys, all right? Yeah. We'll see in the next episodes what happens.
The Save Henry crew heads to the Lost Boys camp, and Emma says that the Lost Boys need a mother. She talks to them and tells how she thought she was an orphan too for a long time, which Tiana just mentioned, and she turned her life around. So she also mentions that family doesn't do what Pan did, like lie to all of the Lost Boys. Felix is the only one that seems to resist going over to the good side.
That little punk.
Why did they even bring Felix on the ship? That's what bothered me.
Because they're too good to leave him behind on an island by himself.
Yeah. Oh my god, some people are better left alone.
And it seems like the rest of the Lost Boys do want to go home and potentially find their families or start a new family. So they tell Emma Pan is at the Thinking Tree. And Emma, Regina, and Mary Margaret go on the hunt for Pan, leaving Hook, Neil, David with the Lost Boys.
So all the girls go out, all the men stay.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Typical.
All right.
Man, boys are worthless, I tell you. Those men folks. Oh, yeah, we'll go sit on the boat while you guys go try to find the most evil person ever.
We'll take care of these children while you guys go to bed.
Yeah. Well, they were getting the ship ready.
And I love that when they had Henry laying down on the bed, he looked like Snow White laying there in the glass. You know, I was like, oh, it must be a family thing.
Uh-huh. They all sleep the same.
They all sleep the same. They get under sleeping curses and have to wait there. They lay in forest, in the forest, in a bed.
So the women end up finding the Thinking Tree and Pandora's box. Unfortunately, it is a trap set by Pan, and they are then vines take them over, and they're just tied to this tree. And apparently the tree traps people by using their regrets. And Pan says that Emma has a lot of regrets, from leaving her son to everything else. Mary Margaret has a lot of regrets. And Regina has a lot of regrets. But she does not have a lot of regrets. She says that she has no regrets because all roads, including the curse, led her to her son, Henry.
Aww.
Cute.
That's the most mother thing to say
in a
situation like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. She ends up breaking out of the tree's vines, steals the heart right out of Pan, and walks away with the box.
That was awesome. That was the best part of the
episode.
Yeah,
that was really badass.
Yeah. To me, that was like, I was like, whoa, this happened so fast. I thought we were going to have another three episodes until they got Henry's hurt back.
Exactly. Well, that's what I said. I was like, I thought they were going to have more episodes to resolve what just happened.
Yeah, and I wrote in my notes, because at this point we didn't know what was going to happen, but, you know, they have Henry's heart, but what would the effects be? You know, his heart is so good and pure and, you know, the truest believer, but has been in such a dark person. So I was scared that when they put the heart back in Henry, maybe, you know, some of that darkness would be spreading through Henry, and Henry wouldn't have such a pure heart anymore.
Yeah.
Which still might happen, considering the way things went down.
Yes.
So, oh, man.
So, yes, back on the Jolly Roger, they put the heart back into Henry. He wakes up. Below deck, Regina is very motherly. She puts Henry in his bed. And she puts this spell on him so that no one can ever take his heart again. She walks away, leaving him there alone, and Pan swoops in. Pan tries to take his heart out, can't do it, and then starts trying to take his shadow before the guys above deck realize what's going on.
Before Rumpel uses his eighth sense or something? Like, yeah. What was that? He had, like, a spidey sense.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yeah. Something
My dad's around.
And I have to mention that they got Rumpel out of Pandora's box.
Which we were asking, how do you control
everything else in Pandora's box?
Because Neil opened it to let Rumpel back out, but how did he know that it would control not letting everything out?
Right. Yeah, you see, I gotta say, I'm really upset with the way that they've handled Pandora's box, because everything we're led to believe about the story and the mythology behind it, it had nothing to do. They showed none of that really, and I think that they should have.
I agree with you.
And also going back
to Tiana just had a revelation.
And also going back to Regina putting that spell on Henry so he couldn't get his heart taken out. Why couldn't she just done that to herself and to her other loved ones?
I know. There's a lot of weird things that could have happened, could have, would have, should have, that this don't
because
do.
Because I think she, in her mind, she was like, well, my mother took her heart out of her body, so I might need to do that eventually.
She was keeping her options open. Couldn't she just undo her spell?
Seriously. I don't know.
But I also think there's a part of Regina that doesn't want to be her mother.
Yeah.
You know, the one and thing also, Regina wanted was for her mother to, you know, love her unconditionally and feel that love. And I know that Cora did, but, you know, Cora took her heart out so that she couldn't be affected by it. And that's the one thing Regina hasn't done yet, because she wants Henry to know that her love for him is true.
And
that
she still wants
real.
To feel.
Yeah, and she wants to feel.
Hence why she adopted Henry.
And
but
all
also,
magic,
like, if she doesn't want people to take her heart, just put the curse upon yourself, or the spell upon yourself, so no one takes her heart out.
Well, what I was going to say is that all magic comes with a price, and she probably knew that and didn't want to do it to herself, because, as we find out, this spell that she put on Henry led somehow to Pan switching bodies with Henry.
I still need to know how that
I don't think that was it.
It wasn't the curse.
The thing was, I think it was like the help of the shadow. The shadow is transient being. We know it can help go from thing to thing. So I think that was a key player in the whole transition.
That's where I take away from it, is that it has to do with the shadow and this whole melange during that time. It was the shadow's purpose to switch their bodies around. That's
you mean Marilyn Manson?
Yeah, him.
Anyways, above deck, Tinkerbell tells Regina she's happy she got Henry back. Wendy gives pixie dust to Tinkerbell. Says, "I believe in you, Tink, just like the original story." And Regina ends up using her magic to put the shadow in the sail of the Jolly Roger to get it to fly back to Storybrooke. Tinkerbell also realizes that her magic is starting to work again, because the pixie dust that she got from Wendy glows, and we know that when you believe in magic, the pixie dust starts glowing. So, seems like things are working out, except for Henry being Pan.
Henry got big, by the way, when he was staying next to Neil.
I thought so, too. I was like, he's really tall.
He's tall now.
Like, whoa.
He's a growing boy. I still don't trust Wendy.
Okay.
I don't know why. I think it has to do, Marissa said this earlier, but I had a dream. I wrote it on the YouTube page. I had a dream that somehow, I can't remember all the details of how it worked out, but that Wendy is actually the mastermind behind all of the things that went on in Neverland. And I can't figure out how it can work with knowing that, you know, Pan is Rumpel's father and all that. But I just feel like there's something else she hasn't told us. And the fact that
she can control Michael and John.
Yeah, that bit of pixie dust that she had that she gave. And it was just like the way she's kind of standing there. And I mean,
she seems weird.
She seems kind of off, but she has been locked in a box for who knows how long. So
I don't think that she has ultimate control. I just think that she has the Stockholm syndrome, or whatever they call it, when you're capped, you end up becoming one of your kidnappers.
So you start believing whatever's been
like. She's like Felix. She's very loyal to Pan, maybe, and you know, playing in this game of this whole innocent thing. But
I don't like Felix.
This
secondary character I can do without.
Pan and Henry's body ends up walking over to Felix and says, "Peter Pan never fails." Pan is then switched with Henry, and we don't know how quite yet.
Shadow.
Hopefully, we find out more. It seems like next week we'll get some more answers on that. And I mean, there's only two more episodes before the winter finale. So, yeah. I mean, they're bringing us information. This was a great setup to the next two episodes, just being like,
it's going to be a
boom.
Huge cliffhanger, I think.
Yeah.
Mid-season.
And because they said that, you know, someone wouldn't survive the trip back from Neverland, so then when they switch bodies, they're like, oh my gosh, is that what they meant? Like, not that someone was going to die, but Henry didn't come back. Pan came back.
They always do these big teasers, and it'll probably be like, David doesn't survive, but then they help him, then he's still alive.
maybe Felix dies.
Oh.
I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, me too.
I'd never wish death on kids, but,
but
if there was a kid, I'd wish it on.
Yeah.
Not Robbie Kay, who plays Peter Pan, is so amazing.
So incredible,
because
yeah.
even in the moment when he went from, you know, reaching and grabbing the shadow to like the realization that like when we were supposed to see that, you know, Henry went into his body, everything in him went from like this evil person to like this innocent, like you saw Henry flash in there yeah. for that mm-hmm. second. I was like, oh my even, gosh, you're and brilliant.
You also, and you also saw the switch in the eyes too, that mm-hmm. both of their eyes lit up a certain way and you knew something happened.
And even like the preview with Peter Pan actually being Henry and watching him be good, yes. even just for a snippet, you're like, man, that kid's good.
He's like, Mom. And you're like, oh my gosh, like the innocence, you went mm-hmm. from being this evil character to this innocent character in the same moment, and yeah, I don't want him to be off the show, but I need Peter Pan gone, and I don't know how else.
I mean, he could be Henry and Peter Pan's buddy.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
That'd be strange.
I just love Robbie yeah. Kay so much.
Yeah, I
think he's
him
doing
too.
A great job as
he's
Peter Pan.
He's definitely very talented.
Yeah.
So, any other thoughts from tonight's episode?
Doesn't Tinkerbell get her wings back?
She doesn't.
Well, she gets some magic.
Yeah,
back.
We talked about
she
that.
She has a
yeah,
little bit of magic it. In her.
There's like okay. an inkling of magic.
It's, okay, and it's because that. She believed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So potentially all these people believing in her and her believing in herself could lead her to getting some, if not all, of her magic back.
I like Emma mentioned that she liked how everyone worked together for once mm-hmm. to get this to happen. So maybe hopefully they'll work more together.
And hopefully as soon as they get back, they remind Mr. Gold to get in his shop and get that cure for David, because
I love Mr. Gold.
That is still something that needs to happen.
Yeah.
Or he could die.
Yeah.
That's true.
So
we'll see.
Let's move on to news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Yay. Marissa, I'll do those pictures after this part.
All right.
So I was reading a TV Line article, and after 2 weeks ago's episode, we found out that Peter Pan is actually Rumpelstiltskin's father. They put together a new family tree, which is just crazy as it is. But Adam Horowitz and Eddie Kitsis said that by the end of season 3, the family tree will grow by 2 more spaces.
I think there's a baby.
Wait, do you mean spaces as in people or?
Yeah. Two more links will be added on as, oh my gosh, they're related or into this family tree. So there's going to be 2 more. It could be people that we already know. It could be a long lost brother or sister. It could be a child. It could be another mother, a father, a grandfather. It could be anyone. We don't know. But by the end of season 3, 2
by
more.
By the end of season 3. Oh.
By the end of season 3.
Okay.
So we still have till May to find out who they are.
A lot of people are speculating that it would be Mary, Margaret, and David having a child since we know that Jennifer Goodwin is with child. Real life. So they're going to have to either write in her pregnancy or hide it very well under cloaks and stuff.
And Mary Margaret did say, I want another baby because I want to do it right this time. So
yeah, so speaking
good
of
timing.
A pregnant...
Did she tell Kitsis and Horowitz before us?
Maybe. I don't know. But speaking of which, I have some pictures of a baby bump on set. There is Jennifer Goodwin as Snow White in between... what's it called when they action? Yeah.
Between takes.
That's the word.
But the outfit that she's wearing looks like it's something that she could hide it.
It does look like something she could hide it in, or the way she's kind of holding her hands underneath. And if you're not watching this right now, I will have the pictures up on the website. The way she's kind of holding, you know, how pregnant people do underneath, it could be to when she was pregnant with Emma.
Yeah,
it could be another
really
flashback. She has the long hair.
It has to be because she has the long hair.
Yeah, if they're using it that way. But there's another picture, too, with a different angle.
Oh, yeah.
How many months is she?
she's probably just outside of her first trimester.
Yeah, I would say probably 4 months. Yeah.
If they wanted to show it, I feel like they would use a bigger baby bump.
Yeah.
Like they would add another one on top of what she has.
I think they're going to be hiding it for a while because there's another picture too that I didn't have that I saw online of her in a bigger cloak that it's just full body, so you can't even see any inkling of a bump.
Yeah,
and they've done this on
so many shows before. Where I mean,
there's camera.
How I Met Your Mother is one of the biggest ones that I can remember, and Friends is they always have the in How I Met Your Mother the girls are always in the bar and have the table over their belly or
bowl of chips.
In Friends, they always a bowl of chips mm-hmm. or a blanket over their body, or they're hiding behind a counter, whatever it is. There are camera angles, and you only film from the neck up.
Yeah,
people don't notice as much.
And the good part is, if we're thinking that she's 3 to 4 months right now, by time she has the baby, they should be done filming or just about filming, so she wouldn't have to miss any episodes for a maternity leave because it would be over their hiatus. Yeah. So, I mean, it's actually the perfect time to have a baby. Hmm. Good job,
like
Jenny.
They planned it.
Like you planned it, and then maybe get married or something right after. So that's it for my news and gossip for today. No news on their wedding yet. But as soon as I get my invitation, save the date, I'll let you guys know.
I hope it's at Disney.
It Disney better wedding. Be.
So, predictions, I guess.
And now, you're after 2 weeks.
One of those days. We've been off for 2 weeks for Thanksgiving, and I feel like the turkey messed with my memory, so predictions.
Predictions. Okay, so this is the one I thought of when I had to write it down. I think that Peter Pan / Henry, that he is going to release everything in Pandora's box when they get back to Storybook.
Ooh, okay.
That might be not next week's episode, but like the week after,
that'd be
destroy
so
everything.
So chaotic.
Because if everyone thinks that he's Henry, then he could get close to things mm-hmm. and near stuff and really mess some things up, and releasing everything in Pandora's box might be the best way to do it.
If, I feel like we watched the previews, and if you don't watch the previews, then don't listen to what I'm about to say, but, they held Peter Pan, who actually is Henry, just outside Storybrooke or somewhere on that road, and it looked like they were about to kill him. They released him from the box, and he says, "I am Henry. Like, don't kill me." So I feel like that's going to happen in next episode before anything major happens, but Henry's body might escape or something where they can't find him. So
then maybe he'd have to stay in Pan's body as Henry.
That's what I'm thinking.
And that's how Robbie Kay stays on this show.
I don't think they would do that forever,
no,
but maybe
think
a couple
they would
episodes.
Do it forever either.
Yeah.
I think you guys think that, Tiana, going off of yours kind of a little bit, but Wendy, how that she's kind of shady and up to no good. Maybe she is kind of possessed too with a different kind of shadow, a different being.
Right.
We don't know who, but someone who also is maybe sneaky on the island as well.
I like that.
And I agree with all your predictions. I think just because of filler-wise of the preview, I think Belle and Rumpel are going to stumble upon something because they make out in the preview and then something happens, which we won't know until next week.
So. Maybe when they kiss, it's true love's kiss and magic starts happening too.
oh my gosh. What if they had a magic baby? And Rumpel was like, he has this long, confession to Belle, and he's like, "Since I didn't get to see my son grow up, I want to have another child."
Oh, dear.
were you trying to do an accent? Were you thinking about it?
No, I was trying to channel Snow White in that one.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Do you get it?
I get it.
Do you get it?
Okay. I got it.
And cool. I think maybe because Tink kind of has some magic, it'll grow, and her character will end up helping in some way.
And she will see the blue fairy again.
Oh,
so.
Guys, yeah. And we're going to see Ariel soon.
Oh, yeah.
Next episode 10, she's supposed to be back again.
She's still in Starbrook, right?
She's going back and forth. I don't know.
I also want to know, is this prophecy still going on? Is the boy going to be Rumpel's undoing? Is that still...
Well, they said
has
a
that
boy.
Not happened yet?
They said it a hasn't boy, happened. So.
Okay. So
they
he
didn't
has
say
not,
it happened immediately.
He has not officially gotten
been
through
undone.
The woods.
I still don't want to believe Rumpel's going to die anytime soon.
I don't think death is undoing. I think that maybe he'll lose his powers. Maybe he'll just slip up. Maybe he'll just be forced to go live in a cottage with Belle and grow old with her.
And then a newborn boy who is the boy. I don't know.
I'm still waiting for David to keel over. As terrible as that sounds.
I kind of do, too. I don't want that to happen, but I mean...
No, I don't want him to die, but it's going to happen next episode.
They've gone so far with it, it's like, it'd be a really big cliffhanger slash...
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I don't want it to happen either. Tiana, you're with me. In the meantime, until next episode, please comment on YouTube, and you can also find us on Twitter. Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at the Tiana Hobson.
You can find me at K-A-O-R-I-O-U-S, Kaorius.
Marissa.
You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at SerafiniTV.
And you can find me on Twitter at Catherine Kelly. You can find all of us here at AfterBuzz TV. And until next week, we hope you have a great week, and we will see you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.